during the campaign, President Obama said he was going to withdraw combat troops and leave a residual force, which is exactly what he's going to do. The only difference is he said 16 months, and now they're talking about 19 months. But the key issue to remember is that his withdrawal will be finished by August of 2010. By December 2011, all have to be out. So even if you leave a residual force, it's not going to stay there more than another year and a half.
Mr. Korb, Jonathan Allen here. I wanted to ask you, you're at the Center for American Progress, and I know that the organization came out with a plan for withdrawal several years ago that looked a lot like the President Obama's campaign plan, a similar time frame, similar residual force. And I'm curious, how much does this plan that we're seeing now differ from what Center for American Progress was anticipating, contemplating a few years ago? And is this simply a plan that is the way in which you would withdraw, that regardless of what the circumstances are?
Well, what we said was a withdrawal over 18 months, the major part of the troops. So we're sort of in between the 16 and 19. And we also said that this was the way to get the Iraqis to recognize we were not occupiers and get them to move toward making the political accommodations, which are going to have to be made. No matter how long you stay, if they haven't made those political accommodations, there's going to be trouble. The other part we talked about, and no one's focused on it, we're not leaving the region. Most are going to be in Kuwait. We're going to have a carrier task force and Marines in the Persian Gulf, and that's the point we tried to make. I mean, when people talk about a withdrawal, it's not like Vietnam, for example. We left and we had no forces at all in Southeast Asia. We're going to be involved in that part of the world for the rest of our lifetimes because of, among other things, the dependence on oil.
So this is like what Congressman John Murtha was talking about when he first talked about getting out and redeploying to the region rather than simply getting out.
Yes, that's true. And I think we put out our plan and then briefed Congressman Murtha on it, and he embraced it. He actually accelerated the timeline a little bit. He was talking about 12 months.
So you can take credit for this withdrawal plan then?
Well, again, you probably know that a lot of people from our place are working in the administration. So I think, it's fair to say we've had some input. And when I was asked to join the Obama campaign in early 2007, and so this is something that some of us who did, were able to convince then Senator Obama that this was the way to go.
We're talking this morning to Lawrence Korb. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower, Reserve Affairs, Installations, and Logistics, now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. So is there any risk of destabilization with these, highly announced plans of troop withdrawals or, drawdown of combat forces, as you were saying?
Well, I think the issue became moot when President Bush, in his last days in office, signed a status of forces agreement with the Iraqis that said you have to have all your troops out within 3 years. I mean, that to me was the defining moment, because now you've basically said you've balanced the risks and the rewards, and you concluded that the way to go is to set the state. There's another thing that people have missed in this debate. This summer, the Iraqi people vote on the status of forces agreement. If they turn it down, we have to be completely out by the end of 2009. And I think it's important that we send a signal we're going to live up to that, because a lot of the people in Iraq don't trust us. They see us as occupiers, for example, like some of the other great powers that have occupied their country. Like the British talked about leaving, and it took them like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And is there a campaign going on from the American government to convince the Iraqi people that of the benefits of having U.S. forces stay?
Well, I think it's really up to the Iraqis now. They're in charge of their country. There was at one time, we were manipulating the media and, buying, stories, if you will. But those days are past, and I think it's really now that the Iraqis, and I think it's important, the Iraqis, it's unlike Afghanistan, where we were welcomed initially. In Iraq, we were never welcomed. The Iraqis, wanted us, a lot wanted to get rid of Saddam, but then they wanted us to get out and let them run their affairs. And as you may remember, we basically were in charge there with the Coalition Provision Authority for over a year.
Mr. Korb, could you talk a little bit about the logistics of removing 100,000 troops or so from an area. I think it's something that gets talked about in very broad terms of withdrawal. Can you talk a little bit about getting troops out of the situation, moving equipment, what some of those challenges are in the actual movement that happens?
Well, the way you do it, and actually it already started even before the president gave a speech, because when he announced the 17,000 troops going to Afghanistan, the two brigades he was sending were scheduled to go to Iraq. So what will happen is when the tours of the brigades end, you won't replace them. And that's one of the ways that you do it. So you're always moving troops in and out. In fact, in 2004, we took in and out over 200,000 troops and equipment. Yes, there are challenges of doing it. And what you want to do when you leave, you want to take all your vital equipment, your communications equipment, your combat equipment, but you won't want to take every, you know, port-a-john that you have at, you know, the base. Bases there. You can fly out the troops, and then you can drive down what they call Route Tampa from Baghdad to Kuwait with, you know, a lot of your heavy equipment. And what you would do is you drive down, you would have air cover to protect it. And whatever else you may think about our military, they're darn good when it comes to logistics.
But I understand those port-a-johns are unpopular on the transport plane, so I can understand why they'd be left.
That's right. Yeah, we did a study, because after we did our initial study, everybody said, well, even if we agree with you, you couldn't do it in that period of time. So we showed, if you wanted to get out, if you said to me today, okay, I got to get all those troops out, how quickly can you get them out safely and get all the vital equipment? You can do it in about 10 months. And, you know, we did this study, and you can go online and read it, and we validated it with the Army staff, you know, and they said, well, you know, we can't take a position on whether to leave, but logistically this is sound.
And, Mr. Corp, what percentage of the equipment gets left and what percentage of it comes back?
Well, I think what gets left are, as I said, sort of the mundane equipment, like you've got military exchanges, you know, gymnasiums and things like that. But what you take, obviously, your combat equipment, your communications equipment, those are the things that you have to take out, things you would not want to, you know, to fall into the hands of a people who, you know, might not have your interest at heart.